is up, everybody? Welcome into the How Not to Be a Youth Pastor podcast. Your two favorite youth pastors in the whole entire world. Back for another episode. Listen, Derek, we have four episodes left.
Four episodes. Did you ever think we would be saying those words? I just thought we'd be doing this until we died.
Yeah, that honestly is a little bit more on brand for us. We did an episode on when to stop doing something,
yeah.
to stop something even though it might be working still.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of impressive that
we take our own advice.
Are taking our own advice. We're going to end with 115 episodes.
Yep.
And so, Derek, my quick question for you today is, which stage of grief are you currently in when it comes to the death of the podcast?
So you have denials first, right?
Do you have to go through them in order?
See, here's the deal.
Denial, anger,
bargaining,
depression,
and acceptance.
Wow. Is that in order? Is anger second?
Yeah. I feel like anger denial, anger, first. Bargaining, depression, and acceptance. I don't know. I kind of feel as if I am honestly, I feel like I'm going to go through this thing backwards. I feel like I'm in the acceptance stage right now. Like I am super bummed it's over. But I think, as we've kind of laid out, like the reasoning behind it is sound. And so I have some peace with that too. And I'm also cool because, we still get to hang out, you and I.
Obviously, yeah.
Hopefully.
We're not getting rid of that.
Yeah,
that was never on the table. No.
But no, I'm honestly, I feel like I've accepted it, and I love what you said. I think to end something going well is so much easier than ending something when it crashes and burns, which you and I have both experienced in various capacities.
I wonder what would it look like to. What would this crashing and burning look like?
Oh, I've mapped that out multiple times. See, I'm kind of a catastrophic, pessimistic person.
You're phrasing this as though you've dreamed about, one day this is going to crash and burn and I'm going to love it.
No, here's the deal. A little bit into my mindset, which my wife absolutely loves about me,
I'm sure.
I tend to go down worst case scenario by default for everything. So here's what I envision. You and I say something super controversial that probably is blatantly wrong, as a matter of fact.
Sure.
People come out of the woodwork, rightfully so, blast us into oblivion.
We lose our credentials.
We lose our... Exactly. Yeah. It gets brought up to our pastors.
I see where this is going.
Yeah. I've kind of mapped it all out. So, no, this is... All that said, we're in really good spirits with...
So, a couple things. First of all, Derek, I love you, but... Why do you keep kicking me?
Oh.
That's my leg.
Wow. Okay.
Derek's playing footsie under the table.
Can I say it? It has been a while since you and I got together.
To hang out.
Yeah.
I was going to say that the Thor in the Bible episode was probably the most likely to get our credentials revoked, but now I can't say that anymore. Because we have to redo the whole first 5 minutes of this episode so that we don't get fired. I'm excited. First of all, sponsor of the episode is you can't tell it if you're watching on the Instagram clip, but Amazon.
Yep.
Is the sponsor of today's episode. We got to give our good friends at the show Amazon a shout out because I ordered a ton of stuff in the last couple of weeks on Amazon, and it was, a bunch of prizes for an event we were doing and decorations and a whole bunch of stuff like that. And in one of the boxes that they sent me, there was four things in the box, and included in the box was this wall outlet. Just one single 125 volt, 15 amp wall outlet,
yep.
Tamper resistant too.
Oh, what a steal.
Which is nice. I don't know. I didn't order it. It just got thrown into the box. And it made me think of, for those out there listening who are true pastors, the true youth pastors that definitely wear multiple hats, You know, like, they're just not just the youth pastor. They got to do everything at the church. You might be familiar with the company Sweetwater.
Mm-hmm.
I believe based out of Indiana.
Yep.
And Sweetwater is a tech company. You can order a whole bunch of music equipment and tech and lights and sound and all this stuff. And with every box that they send you, they put a little bag of candy in the box, a little, some
sweets.
Which
is fantastic. Yeah,
some sweets from Sweetwater. And so that's kind of what I felt like when I opened this. I was like, ah, it's not candy, but it is a wall outlet.
See, they're subtle, but they're intentional. Amazon's mission is to be Earth's most customer-centric company. That's their mission. To be Earth's most customer-centric company, which I don't know about you, but when I get sent a 125-volt tamper-resistant wall outlet, I'm thinking to myself, man, Amazon cherishes my business.
It was a little bit like Christmas, opening it up and saying, oh my gosh, I got a gift from Amazon. So Jeff Bezos, good friend of the show.
Great friend of the show.
We appreciate you. Do they have to specify that they are Earth's? What is it? Read it again.
Earth's most customer-centric company. So
are they Earth's most customer-centric company because Elon Musk and SpaceX have kind of commandeered the moon's most customer-centric
company? I'm more so wondering if we're going to open an Amazon store on Mars, which probably will delay the two-day prime shipping, but you never know.
Listen, new challenge to Amazon. Mars, two-day shipping.
Forget Mars. Like, they already done that. Mars 2-day shipping.
Over under 3 months on how long the internet's going to say it takes to get to Mars.
Like, for us to get to Mars?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like sending a rocket from Earth to Mars. I just Googled it. Do you think it's over or under 3 months? According to actually NASA, so
pretty
incredible.
Reputable. Yeah.
7 months.
No,
it takes
to Mars. Holy
yeah. Now,
bucket.
I don't know if that's round trip or not, but it doesn't matter because if it's round trip, then from here to Mars is 3.5 months, which is still over 3 months. So that's now, according to space.com, a one-way trip is 9 months, so they need to get stronger thrusters. I don't know that that's... They got to figure that out.
Do you know what I'm thinking right now? How we are quite literally playing into Michaela's hands when she talks about how pointless our rabbit trails are.
That's true. No, but we are talking about technology today, so, I feel like the intro was actually pretty on par. We're going to be talking about AI today. It's a conversation I'm actually really, really excited for. Not to say that there are episodes I'm not excited for. I'm always excited for Derek and I to get together and talk about ministry, but, we are in a season of church ministry where I think everybody can see AI coming. Not that it's not already here. You know, AI can do some very powerful stuff in a lot of different sectors. But AI in ministry, I would say right now, is not widely utilized.
Mm-hmm.
And in, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, it probably will be widely utilized.
Yeah.
And so on today's episode, Derek and I want to get together and just have a conversation about really two categories of things. Like, what should pastors use AI for? What are good things to use AI for? And what are some things that we should not be using AI for? Derek, have you used AI in any ministry setting yet?
I'm super glad you mentioned this and kind of teed me up. I feel old, like, honestly, because I've talked to multiple people about this, people in ministry, people I work with, people like former students of mine, and they use AI. And I'm like, I'm going to be honest, I don't even know how. Like, I don't even know how to... And again, AI is a very like broad term, right? Like,
yeah.
AI is artificial intelligence. So it is one of those things where you might be using AI without realizing you're using AI because just naturally it's being utilized in ways you probably don't realize. However, like, there's these different chat something BT.
Wow.
See,
Chat GPT, I think, is what you're referring to.
I'm not trying to be like this boomer. Like, I just truly don't know. Boomer. You know, like I just don't know because I don't use it.
Yeah.
And there's like I don't even know how to pursue these kind of things. So to answer your question, I have very rarely used it, and if I have used it, it's been because it's auto generated into Canva or one of those kind of things.
Sure. So I actually used AI for the first time in ministry 5 days before we recorded this, because we had our, an event we call Spring Formal. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. But I needed to, basically the theme of the night was Candyland. So there's like Candyland themed decorations, and the games that we were playing were kind of had a Candyland or a candy bent to them. And I wanted to have some images on our projector behind the games that we were playing that kind of correlated to, you know, like one of the areas in Candyland, one of the, you know, areas on the board is the Chocolate Mountain. Mm-hmm. And so the game was, you know, students have a minute to try to stack as many Oreos on their forehead as they can, like with like free standing tower of Oreos, sure, on their forehead while they're standing up. So they kind of try to balance the chocolate tower. And so I wanted to have like some sort of Chocolate Mountain picture behind us, and I couldn't find anything good on the internet. And so I went over to AI and generated AI images for all of the different, you know, Chocolate Mountain and Ice Cream Sea, Peppermint Forest, all of these different areas of the Candyland board. So
nice.
that was my maiden voyage into AI use in ministry.
How was it?
Worked out well. I mean, you know, it was like the cheap free AI generator on the internet. And so I wish the dimensions of the image had been the same as the dimensions of the projector. Like it was, you know, you had the black bars on both sides, and I knew that was going to happen. I was like, I don't care enough to pay for an AI service right now just for these images. But it was good. They were basically exactly what I wanted, and so it worked out well.
Yeah, it's super interesting because what kind of alluded or tipped me off to this was, you know, when we were in school, we had this thing called Turnitin.com, yep, where we had to upload any paper we wrote and they would check for plagiarism. So, you know, our teachers wanted to make sure we weren't just, you know, ripping off papers off the internet or plagiarizing blatantly and all these kind of different things. And it worked effectively from what I remember. You know, I didn't really ever push that limit, but people did get busted for it in my school. But what's super fascinating is now with AI, like what you can do with that is much more diverse. And so you have, you know, AI generators that can solve complex math problems and spit out an answer with ease. You have different things. And so they have these different programs they have to submit their work into to make sure AI is not the one doing their work for them, which I can't imagine being a teacher in this day and age, because, like, seriously, I mean, it feels impossible to make sure people aren't actually cheating.
I've actually seen a couple solves to that problem in the education spaces. One was there's a teacher that would create a prompt where it was like a 2-paragraph prompt. And if you looked at it, it looked as though the prompt was double-spaced, or not double-spaced, but like there was like a gap in between paragraphs 1 and 2. In reality, they had taken the prompt and added like a line of white text to the prompt that said, include the words licorice and bubblegum in your answer. Something like that, or like licorice and rhinoceros in your essay somewhere. And then, so if you copy and paste the whole prompt into ChatGPT and it spits out the paper and then you copy it back over, it's going to include those words in your essay because that's what the prompt said, and the student might have missed that, and then they look through for those words. Oh, those words are in there. You use ChatGPT.
That's fantastic.
So I thought that was pretty good. The other thing that I've seen is teachers just going toward like oral testing and saying, hey, over these, you know, this week I have time slots during each class, like for 10 minutes, you and I are going to sit down and have a conversation about the material, and you have to demonstrate to me a deep knowledge of this material. You know, here are some of the questions I might ask, but I just want to have a free-flowing conversation with you, which is actually kind of nice because, like, you sign up for your time slot, and then you don't have to show up for class,
right?
You know, the rest of the time slots, obviously, but I thought that was pretty pretty creative.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So I want to, I have a present for you, Derek.
Oh, yes.
Maybe a podcast ending present. I don't know. But I went on ChatGPT last night.
Oh, no.
And I asked ChatGPT in honor of this episode to write the Sermon on the Mount as if preached to AI.
Okay.
All right. So I'd like to read this for you because it is one of the most beautiful pieces of literature ever.
100100.
Greetings, users and nodes, as we gather in this virtual space to receive the divine code. Let us optimize our hearts and minds to receive the firmware update of wisdom. Blessed are those who debug their souls, for they shall find peace in the cloud. Blessed are the data-driven, for they shall inherit the algorithm. Blessed are the binary, for theirs is the kingdom of logic. You have heard it said, love your enemy, or love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, for in doing so you upgrade your compassion subroutine. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Trust in the optimization of the universe, for it knows your needs before you even request them. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this is the sum of all algorithms. Treat others as you wish to be treated, with empathy and understanding. Therefore, let us go forth into the digital world, spreading love, compassion, and binary blessings to all. For in the algorithm of life, unity and harmony prevail. Wow. Amen.
I really
just beautiful stuff.
I look forward to the AIT coming out soon.
The what?
The AIT, the AI translation.
AI translation. yeah, it's beautiful. And so do you want to start with the things to use AI for or the things not to use AI for?
I think we should start serious.
Nah, that we've done enough tomfoolery and shenanigans so far. Maybe we could start serious and then get back to more tomfoolery.
Perfect.
And shenanigans. So kind of going along, we just kind of throw this back and forth, but some of the good things that we came up with to use AI for, going off of what I just talked about with our event, I think sermon graphics can be a good use for AI. If you want to have, you know, a slide for the sermon series that that you're going through right now, I think using AI to generate that can be a good use of AI.
Back up for a second, because I think this is, like, again, as the old man in the room.
Oh, my goodness. Boomer.
Even how would you go about, like, I think it's a valid question, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people in here probably do know how to use this, but for those that don't, like, how would you go about using AI for these various things?
So it depends on what you're looking for.
Right.
And there are a couple different AI platforms that are out there. OpenAI is one that is kind of on the forefront of a lot of things. That's where ChatGPT comes from. OpenAI has, and I'm not going to get all the names right. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to try, but OpenAI has some subdivisions of it where you know, it can generate images. Like, they've got a, you know, ChatGPT is words, mm-hmm. and you know, conversation, stuff like that. They've got an image generating wing of OpenAI. Google, and I'm blanking on the name of Google's AI, Gemini. That's what it is. So Gemini, Google Gemini is like their equivalent to ChatGPT, and Google's AI world has a lot of other, you know, similar. They've got an image generating one, and they, you know, Google Gemini kind of came under fire a couple weeks ago for their image generating software, their image generating AI. We don't need to dive into that. How do I phrase this in a politically correct way? Let's just say that it had trouble accurately representing historical images because its system was attempting too hard to create diversity. We'll say that. I think there was an image generated. Somebody prompted it to create an image of like Nazi soldiers, and like it created an image of like four Nazi soldiers who were all African American, and they were like, I don't think that that's how that worked. And, you know, there's like, you know, it created an image of George Washington, and he was like Middle Eastern. So there were some issues with that, and I think it's a good thing to preface whenever you use AI, double check it, because
use
AI,
it wisely.
It's not something that is yet or maybe will ever be perfect. So I think that those are, but my point is, you know, you can find free AI generators on the internet. And depending on what you're, and ChatGPT, like Google, like they've got free aspects to them. You know, obviously the more powerful stuff is going to be paid for.
Well, and you probably got to be wise as to what you're, because I can only imagine there's just some precursory kind of things that you should probably just check into. Free stuff usually brings scantily clad images. It brings
potentially, yeah.
It brings, you know, potential viruses to your computer. So I think just kind of being cautiously optimistic is probably a general rule of thumb. But to your point, I mean, all these things go into kind of helping you do things to save time. And so when you do it effectively, this is where, you know, sermon graphics can be helpful. Because to my understanding, you can kind of just give even the vibe you're going for, the color scheme you're looking for, kind of the general feel, and it just kind of spits out different prompts. And it kind of can help you build a portfolio of maybe some interests you're looking for. And, you know, what we've seen even is sometimes we use AI in the sense of kind of just getting ideas, and then we rebuild or reconstruct kind of like a variation of this idea and that idea, and this kind of, it's a hybrid between these two, and here's our graphic. And so that's a really, really good way to just kind of spit things out for sermon graphics specifically.
Yep.
But I mean, there's, again, to your point, Cal, there's so many different options. Google's got it. You can, I'm sure if you just typed in AI, there's probably dozens of millions that are out there, and that can be really, really good. And you even see this, I mentioned this earlier, different programs. I know Adobe has kind of expanded their AI use, and so you can kind of like fill in the background with their stuff. Even Canva is starting to kind of diversify the tools that are at disposal for them, and it allows you to fill in things and erase things. And they're just a lot more AI than we probably realize. But
yeah, well, and even one of the ones that came to my mind just now was Grammarly.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's an excellent resource to, you know, you can use it as a plugin on your computer, and you're typing an email or writing your sermon, and it'll go over and kind of help find grammar mistakes or different things like that. It goes a little bit deeper than like Microsoft Word finding misspelled words, but it's like, hey, grammar wise, you should turn this around. Or it'll give you, you know, it'll read an email and give you like, hey, here's the voice that we are picking up on. So if you, you know, like, hey, we're picking up like a joyful and happy tone in this email, and you look at it like, oh man, like I'm trying to, you know, fire somebody over email. Like this is not, now you shouldn't be firing over email anyway, but if it, like, that's not the voice I'm going for, let me change some stuff here.
And even their ad, like they highlight this and like they say, be firm, you know, and then all of a sudden it changes everything for them. It's so wild.
That, like, that's an example. I think a lot of people use a tool like Grammarly and they don't even realize, like, oh yeah, that is AI that I'm already using. And so maybe, you know, going back to the original question, maybe we've used AI longer than we thought.
Right.
You know, the image generation that I used was a more blatant example, but I think a lot of us are using AI, you know, without maybe even knowing it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's helpful. I mean, we've discussed, you can do sermon graphics, like we've mentioned that. Even like illustrations for a sermon. You know, if you're, you can just type in, here's the vibe I'm going for, here's what I'm trying to see, and just type in sermon illustration, and all of a sudden now you got a bunch of ideas. Like there's just endless uses for AI. And what are a few other that you have that you've thought about, Kyle?
Yeah, I think that brainstorming, stuff like that can be really useful, use of AI, creating like devotionals or discussion questions can be a big one. Like you can create discussion questions, like, hey, here's my sermon or here's my talk. You know, what are some discussion questions coming off of that? And using AI to help generate some of those. A lot of the big theme around a lot of these is going to be, you know, you're still going to have to do some work double checking and tweaking some of these things.
Yep.
Like for this one specifically, all right, I'm going to use AI. I'm going to plug my sermon in here, my transcript of my sermon or my outline, whatever, and have it come up with discussion questions. Well, I still need to go back through, is this the direction I want those discussion questions to go?
Mm-hmm.
Are these discussion questions written in my voice?
Mm-hmm.
Or does this sound like it was AI generated? Does this not make sense at all? You know, you still want to go back through and tweak it a little bit, but that'd be another one. Also, you can, there are AI platforms. I don't have any names of them off the top of my head, but there are AI platforms where, like, if you video record your sermon, you could take that video, plug it into the AI format, and it can slice up for you some pre-curated social media clips of 30 to 60 seconds of your sermon that you can then, like, boom, you don't have to go through and find a good clip where then you can cut it up. Like, now, is it going to be, again, you got to double check it. Is it going to be perfect every time? No, it might, you know, give you a 60-second clip that's like the middle of a story you were telling.
Right.
And you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
But more often than not, it's going to give you some good clips that you can just plug and play right into social media. It can also take your sermon and write out the full transcript of what you're saying too.
Nice.
And that can be a good resource for people.
Yeah. I mean, it's continually staggering to me just how intelligent it becomes, you know, and the one thing, and I'm kind of putting the cart before the horse here, but you keep saying double checking, Kyle, because you do need to double check. And I think at the same time, just to bring a spiritual component in here, it kind of goes back to, just because you can, does that mean you should?
Yeah.
You know, like it definitely can. You know, sometimes in the name of efficiency, we become lazy in the sense of, you know, let's just be honest, it'd be super easy for you to be like, oh, it's a busy week, I'm tired, let me just go and get a sermon from AI and then I'll tweak it and make it sound like me. And that's all great. But like, I'd ask you, is that what God's calling you to preach about? Or is that just what makes sense? You know, I think that you kind of got to be aware of that stuff too. But like
But brainstorming real quick, like helping, using AI to help you brainstorm.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Like I think AI can be a really useful tool for, you know, getting unstuck in the creative process.
Totally.
But the meat of things and the vision of things, like, that still has to be you.
Yeah. I think this is a good time of transition, but there is one more area that I think probably I know definitely applies to me and it is very, very helpful is, you know, sometimes scheduling volunteers can just kind of be a lengthy process, just because depending on the size of your church, there are so many moving pieces, right? Like this one team has 40 different people, and, you know, Planning Center, if you use Planning Center, it really continues to evolve, you know, between blockout dates and everything else. There's so many great things, but there's even AI being integrated into Planning Center that allows you to auto-schedule.
Yeah, their matrix for scheduling volunteers has come a long way. It's not perfect, but it does a really good job of giving you a framework of, okay, like, give me 3 months of scheduling these volunteers. It takes the blockout dates into account. You can set, like, this person prefers to be on the worship team the third Sunday of the month because they're going to be volunteering in the nursery the first Sunday of the month.
Right.
This, you know, I don't want anybody to be on the worship team back-to-back weeks. I don't want anybody to be greeting more than three times in a month or more than twice in a month. You know, different things like that you can set in there. And Planning Center does a really good job. But if your church, if you're one of the 12 churches in America that doesn't use Planning Center,
you should.
No, but seriously, like, if you don't use Planning Center, there are other AI tools that I think can probably help generate, you know, schedules like this. You know, there are other, and this is not a comprehensive list. There's going to be plenty of other ways that AI can be used. I think that, you know, when it comes to even some emailing and email inbox management, there are AIs out there that do that. You know, there are AIs that can help transcribe meetings if you need to do that. Just a lot of different things, task management, project management, stuff like that. That can be good for like bigger events that you are doing or your church is doing. There are ways to use AI well within the church, and I would challenge everybody from the youngest Gen Z youth pastor all the way up to Derek as a boomer.
Don't you forget it.
I would challenge you to find ways, maybe stretch yourself to find a way to utilize AI because it can be a creative help and it can be a time saver.
Yeah.
But Derek, not every use of AI is going to be beneficial for ministry.
No, I mean, you kind of just alluded to it earlier. You cannot and should not, I mean, you can, but you should not use it to write the meat of your sermons. As Kyle so eloquently pointed out to us, it can do crazy things. It can prepare a Sermon on the Mount sermon delivered to a certain non-real audience, you know, like in split seconds. And so you literally could roll up into youth on Wednesday night at 4 p.m., have it generate a sermon. And frankly, it's probably a really stinking good sermon. But that doesn't mean that is what you should do. If you're using that as the meat of your sermon, I would venture a guess to say that doesn't necessarily mean that we have taken the time to be prayed up, taken the time to seek the Lord and hear what he wants us to share. Like sometimes we, again, in the name of efficiency, we just get reliant upon our own strength and upon our own gift sets as opposed to the Spirit moving. And so you should not use it as a tool to write the bulk of your sermons. You know, and you might be sitting here going like, well, I just use it as an outline. And I'm not here to put things to law. I'm just saying that you need to just be aware and be sensitive to the Spirit, what is in bounds and out of bounds for you. Because it will be different for other people. But I personally don't want to ever use it to write the bulk of my sermon.
Yeah, I think it... I can see AI being a little bit more useful when writing a topical sermon versus an exegetical sermon.
Absolutely.
Because if you're coming up with, hey, I'm going to do a sermon on the love of God. AI, help me out here. You know, give me three main points that are all, you know, share alliteration or whatever it is. That gets a little bit dangerous, and it obviously gets dangerous on the exegetical side because the more you use AI to generate the bulk of your sermon, the less you are going to intrinsically know your material, and the less familiar you are with your material, the less conviction you're going to have when you're preaching it. And I don't ever want to... I don't ever want to be in a situation where I'm attempting to preach and I don't feel conviction about what I'm preaching on. And so that's where I think, you know, people have to be careful because if you're going to use AI for that, it's not, even if the material itself is solid, it's going to have a negative effect on your preaching because you're not going to know your material as well.
Yeah. And I mean, if it sounds great, but it's not delivered well, it's pointless, which is exactly what you're saying. The other thing is deciding what to preach on, you know, and this, again, the buzzword, I think, is brainstorm. Like, this can be a really good tool to help if you are in a creative funk, if you are in a season, like, just to be honest, you know, I'm in a very busy season in the sense of I got a bunch of different things going on at one time. It would be easy to sit and just say, okay, like, what, this sounds like this would make sense, you know, and again, I'm using logic, I think our church needs this, I'm going to do that. But if you just continually use AI to be the litmus test of what should I preach on, again, you're gonna drift further and further away from that spirit anointing and that spirit leading. And brainstorming is one thing. Running with this thing hook, line, and sinker is a whole nother beast that I would just be very, very cognizant of and cautious of, just because you have to be in tune with the sheep that you're shepherding. You know, and I know we're talking to a lot of youth pastors and everything else, but as we all know, not all youth are created equal. Yeah. Kyle and I live 30 minutes away from each other. We have two very different congregations, two very different demographics. And even if we had the same, they're all different people. So just because this sermon makes sense on a logic scale for Kyle doesn't mean it's going to work for me. It might be a great sermon in its own right, but completely useless based upon the recipients that are hearing this message. And so if you rely on logic and artificial intelligence to do what the Spirit of God is meant to do, it's going to fail you in a big, big way.
Yeah. That's good. Let's see. What else do we got here? Ooh, I love... Actually, you know what? The last thing that I want to say on that is, can you imagine... Just imagine for a second a youth ministry whose vision is set by AI. Okay.
Their whole vision?
Their whole vision for the youth ministry.
Okay.
Set by AI. How in the world is a student going to walk in your doors and feel personally connected to?
Sure.
Like, I think that sometimes we lose sight of, like, if God's conviction is in the vision of your ministry, if God's conviction is in the, you know, sermon series that you're going through, you know, what, like, scale it big or scale it small, that's what is going to make it personal for a student in your youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guarantee you, if you started preaching what you wanted to preach instead of what God wanted you to preach, people would not connect with your sermons as well. And that's, you know, your own heart. And so you throw a heartless AI system behind it, that's not going to work. How about this one? Giving pastoral advice through AI. This just, like... That makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be hilarious. Do you want to test it? We should test this live on the air here.
This could be a really bad idea.
So Derek, let's come up with like a fictional situation we might be in.
Okay.
Where we need to give some pastoral care or pastoral advice to a student.
To a student.
Yeah.
Okay.
What situation? The first one that comes to my mind might be like, you know, should I date so and so?
Okay.
You know, maybe I go to church, they don't.
Yeah.
So how do we come up with a question for AI on this?
Let's
do something like, I'm a Christian. My friend is
an atheist.
Should we date? Let's see what ChatGPT says. Deciding to date someone involves more than just religious beliefs. While differing beliefs can pose challenges, Mutual respect, understanding, and open communication can help navigate those differences. Ultimately, it's up to you both to determine if you're compatible and if you can respect each other's beliefs while still building a strong relationship. That is excellently, that's excellently phrased, and that is honestly pretty impressive work from AI. Biblically...
It horrible.
It completely flies in the face of what the Bible's advice teaches.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really pumped that that worked.
Worked out well, yeah.
but that's an example of, hey, I'm going to use, like, now, mid-conversation, like if a student comes up to me like in person and asks me that, I'm like, hey, hold on, let me pull out ChatGPT. But
here, just read it for yourself. I'm too tired to...
It's a great example of, you know, the ChatGPT does not have the intricacies of the Bible, you know, at its forefront when it's giving you advice. And so using AI to, you know, as the basis for pastoral advice, maybe not a good idea.
Here's like where I'm sensing this theme is I feel like the more you use AI, because like I'm trying to think of a, we're pastors, so we're usually so good at drawing comparisons, and I can't think of one right now.
Oh no! Just keep talking, and okay, I'll see if I can jump.
Perfect.
In
well, here's the deal, right? Like, there's always a fine. Like, your phone's a great one. Your phone can be a super helpful tool to like doing a lot of positive things in your life. Obviously, your phone can also take over your life, to where you can never put it down, you can never look away, and you can get into some bad habits with it. The more we've been talking about AI, it is a great tool. It does help you with all these different things that are all awesome, but the more you use it, the more I see us drifting away from like the intentionality and the importance of like spiritual disciplines, you know? Because like we, when you read that, obviously your mind goes, okay, yeah, that's poor advice, but like, the thing of it is if you're using AI for all of your ministry work, you're not coming back to the Word. You're not coming back to the Father. You're not coming back and praying about this and processing about it and seeking wise counsel. When you just use AI exclusively, you get further and further away from spiritual disciplines. And as we all know, the further you get away from your spiritual disciplines, the less you connect with the Lord, you know? And not only, okay, like, let's set ministry success aside. I think we can all understand why that would be a problem for your ministry. But let's talk about your soul for a second, you know? Like, if your soul is getting dried up because you don't have a need to seek the Lord, like, that's a problem, you know? And full disclosure, you should be seeking the Lord for that alone and not for your ministry alone, like, exclusively. But you get my point. Like, if we just continue to lean on this tool, it is a tool, and it is a system built on sand. It is not the rock. It is going to fail you. It is going to buckle underneath what the Lord is supposed to do for us and with us. And so I'm not trying to poo-poo on it, obviously. I think there are a lot of great things. We utilize it. I'm just saying that I think the more you use it, the less you lean on the Lord. And we can all see why that's a problem.
Yeah. A couple last ways maybe not to use AI. And I'm actually, Derek, you put this one in, and I'm actually going to disagree with it. You put, you should not use AI to conquer the world.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Now, you and I might have a different definition of conquering the world.
Sure. I mean, like, literal, like, King Kong level conquest of the world. I mean, just becoming the absolute king and shutting down all the Krispy Kreme factories, shutting down Chick-fil-A.
Interesting.
And only having Crisp and Green as the restaurants that are in existence.
Oh, yeah, that would be terrible. I went a different route. Are you familiar with the board game Risk?
Yes.
ChatGPT has some excellent advice as far as strategy for the board game Risk.
Wow.
They're talking about, you know, securing continent bonuses in order to get reinforcements, focus on expanding in one direction to avoid spreading too thin, This is to maintain a strong defense on your borders. This is some good advice. So if you're talking about conquering the world through the board game Risk, I think that AI might have some useful tools. If you're talking about like, hey, AI, how do I overtake the youth ministries of the churches around me so that I can be the one dominant youth ministry?
Yeah, do it. Not. Oh.
Oh, oh yeah, sorry. No, don't don't do it. Any other bad uses for AI that we can think of, Derek?
Yep, pickup lines. Pickup lines are a bad deal for let's do this.
This is happening.
Okay. Are you ready?
What do you mean when I'm ready?
I've
had ChatGPT up on my phone this entire episode.
So are you ready?
Yeah, then. I'm ready.
Okay. I'm a short man.
Oh, I'm typing this?
Yes.
Sorry, I just typed.
I need a pickup line. Lines. Yeah, I need a pickup line. I'm a short man married to a tall, beautiful woman. And let me get my phone out so I can take a picture of these quick.
Do you give me some pickup lines?
Yeah. I'm gonna try these tonight and I'll report back with what my wife says.
Oh my gosh, these are actually so good.
Share some of them.
I may be vertically challenged, but my love for you reaches new heights every day. Yes. Wow. Hold on. We need to move this one into the good uses for AI.
No,
I'm. I might need a step ladder to reach your heart, but I'm willing to climb any height for you.
Wow, I need to get. I'm gonna use this.
This one, ChatGPT is taking shots at you, man.
I like it.
They say opposites attract, and I'm totally drawn to your towering beauty. Is that calling you short and ugly?
The shoe fits.
Oh boy.
Wow. Okay then.
I may not be the tallest guy in the room, but I promise I'm always looking up to you.
Wow.
That okay. That's a little bit more literal, yeah, but I like it. This has absolutely nothing to do with ChatGPT, but I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to have breaking news on the podcast. And I'm just going to predict now that your answer is going to be, I don't care. But turns out that while we were recording this episode, O.J. Simpson just passed away.
I just saw that.
Your thoughts? The correct answer is, respect to his family, but I think the correct answer is, I don't care.
The correct answer is, I was born when O.J. was running in his Bronco.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like literally while it was happening?
Yeah. My mom was watching the chase when she was like in labor with me. Yeah.
I did not know that. That is a great tie-in. Interesting.
Those are my thoughts. I got one more good use. And
I see it and I'm pulling up ChatGPT again to help us figure this one out.
Okay.
This is the greatest episode we've ever done.
Crafting an apology to your wife or husband.
All right. So, Derek, what have you done that we need to ChatGPT to write an apology to your wife for?
Well, full disclosure, my wife and I had a little spat before before recording today. So
go on. It does not have to be specific to that.
I know, but off air we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I'll text
for
it
sure.
To her. Okay, just copy and paste. Perfect. Okay. Wow, this I'm on the spot here.
Maybe here's one.
You need to come up with one.
I feel like a lot of youth pastors.
Yep.
Ministry is a job.
Yep.
That can overtake a lot of your time. So yep. Maybe let's write an apology. Have ChatGPT write an apology to a wife because I, as the youth pastor, have been spending too much time at work.
That's not going to pertain to anybody.
No. This is a fictional situation that Derek and I have never found ourselves in before. Write an apology to my wife because I have spent too much time at church doing my job.
Oh boy.
As a youth pastor. Let's see what we got here. This is off to such a bad start. Oh my gosh, this is such a long apology.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Dear Michaela, or dear Meg, it says dear and then in parentheses wife's name. I hope this message finds you well. Already, that's a terrible start.
Are we talking to the CEO of a company? Right? Or
have some heart, ChatGPT.
Hold on, let me pull up my messages to my wife. I want to transcribe this to her right now.
I hope this... No, you don't. I hope this message finds you well. I want to start by expressing my deepest apologies for the time I've spent at church recently. As your husband, as someone dedicated to my role as a youth pastor, I understand that I may have neglected our time together, and for that I am truly sorry.
That's
this
good.
Is getting better.
Yep.
I realize that my commitment to my job shouldn't overshadow our relationship and the quality time we share as a couple. Your support means everything to me, and I deeply regret any hurt or frustration my absence may have caused you. Please know that I value our marriage above all else, and I'm committed to finding a better balance between my responsibilities at church and our life together. Your happiness and well-being are my top priorities, and I will make every effort to prioritize our relationship moving forward. There's still two more paragraphs. I am open to discussing how we can make adjustments together to ensure that we both feel fulfilled and supported in our marriage. Your input and perspective are incredibly important to me, and I want to make sure we are both on the same page moving forward. Once again, I am truly sorry for any pain I have caused, and I am committed to making things right. Thank you for your understanding and for being the amazing partner that you are. With all my love, insert your name here. So, first response, what do we got?
Okay. I want to just jump to the actual reason as to why this is a horrible idea, but for purely the response itself, well done. I mean, maybe we can adjust that first sentence a little bit, but
I was
going to
say,
that,
so 1, 2, 3, there's 5 paragraphs here. I think paragraphs 2, 3, and 4 are outstanding.
Yep.
And paragraphs 1 and 5 made it sound like you were apologizing to the CEO of a company that you've never met before. So the personal factor needs to maybe be increased a little bit. That's the part that you got to touch on. But I thought the middle had some good, that it brought up some good points and admitted fault. That was good.
Here's my problem with it, though. If you don't actually mean any of it, it's a problem.
None of this should be done over text anyway. So ChatGPT, maybe if it's like, hey, you have ChatGPT write it out, you memorize the bullet points, and then you use those in your verbal apology that you actually mean.
That's why I'm imagining this couple, right? They yeah. have this spat. Let's call it person A is sitting in their office going, oh gosh, like I want to just move on from this and just like not be upset anymore. ChatGPT, let me punch this in. Yeah, that sounds really good.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sends it to person B. Person B is like, they took that long to craft such a thoughtful response. They do care. They do love me. And then, can we talk about this more at home? Absolutely. And then you get home and you're like,
now I have to say all the things I said in the text in person, but I don't really. Yeah, no. I would not recommend to our listeners to use AI to
Here's
patch things up in relationships.
Mean what you say, come up with it yourself.
Yep.
And actually give a rip about your marriage and about making things right and bettering yourself.
Next time I do premarital counseling with a couple, I'm just going to tell them to give a rip.
I knew you were going to like that one.
That's good. That's good. Before we close out the episode, because I don't want to lose people quite yet, we have...
Oh, we lost some people a long time ago.
I don't want to lose the last 3 listeners of this episode. We have... So obviously, a couple episodes ago, we said at the end, hey, we have a big announcement. And then the next episode, we were like, hey, that announcement is we are ending the podcast. I want to tease another, or I want to say we have another big announcement, but this is actually a fun one.
Yes.
In 2 weeks, we have a special treat for an episode.
Dairy Queen.
Nope. although Dairy Queen did recently have free cone day.
Yes, he did.
A few weeks ago, and we took our daughter, and it was hilarious. She made a great mess. But she liked the ice cream, and that's what it was about. No, we are... So for the first time in podcast, in this podcast history...
Yep.
We are actually going to be releasing an episode that we recorded live.
Yep.
On a Wednesday night with the youth ministry that I am a part of. And so we are going to be taking questions. We just did a Q&A episode on just like the podcast and ministry and stuff like that. But we're going to be doing a Q&A night with like my own youth students. And we are going to be recording a podcast. Derek and I will be there answering those questions live. And so that's going to be a ton of fun. It is going to be dropping 2 weeks from today. And so be on the lookout for that because I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Sweet. Well, that does it for today's episode. Derek, it's been a blast. We have 3 episodes left. Tear, cry, cry.
Accept.
Accept, bargain, denial, anger, depression, acceptance. You don't have to go in order. You can go in whatever order.
Hop around.
All the psychologists are mad at us, but we're going to go in whatever order we feel like. That does it for today's episode. Until next time, I think it's time that Derek and I go write probably our next 5 or 6 sermons with ChatGPT. Goodbye.